Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
Anything happen this week?
I don't know. Did anything happen this
week? The legacy nodes murdered the playdate. That happened this week.
Oh, yeah.
Well, didn't
that
murder,
was funny because but... I literally opened, I think, the rebound this week by thinking, because I'm going to get the name right, the Steam Deck, not the Stream Deck.
No, not the Stream
but
Deck.
But the Steam Deck had been delayed earlier in the
yes.
week. And I thought to myself, oh man, the Playdate's supposed to ship by the end of the year. So on the rebound, like it's literally the first topic this week. It's like, so guys, do you think the Playdate's going to get delayed? And Lex and Moltz were like, no, I think they'll make it. Mm. I was like, I don't know. And then, 24 hours later, it was delayed.
Legacy nodes.
Well, and yeah. with them, it's weird because they talked about it and they were very frank about it. And they said, hey, we had a bunch of batteries that crapped out essentially and we're not dealing with that. And it's not like... in a perfect world, they would have been ready to ship. They had units.
They had their first two batches ready to go, but they had the batteries failed the test, which I immediately thought this is probably one of the scenarios where the battery supplier gives the best batteries to its biggest customers. And this little company with its little game thing did not get the best batteries. They had to change battery manufacturers and ship all of the ones that were in California ready to ship out back to Malaysia to be reassembled. Yeah.
And then on the same time, they talked about the fact that the CPUs they ordered, they had to order more because the demand is high, right? Like they're making a lot of units. And it turned out the ones we didn't already have a contract for buying are now so far back ordered that it would take
2 years.
2 years. To get them.
It turns out that there is a variant that is essentially identical.
Right. So according to people that, I think probably know a little bit about this or just understand the technology better, like they're using an ARM chip, right? So there are, because the way the spec works, it's possible to get those from other vendors and have them work pretty much close to the same.
So they have to do a revision of their motherboard. Which is bananas, but it will allow them to use a different chip that's available. And can you imagine that? You get your product ready to ship, and then you have to change the motherboard and use a different processor just solely because of availability. But, hardware, that's why it's called hardware and not easyware, Dan.
I always wondered.
Now you know. It's because it's so difficult. That's why they call it that. So, yeah, I look forward. I actually was thinking about the Playdate because I found a bunch of pictures in my photos library of everybody playing with that sample unit of the Playdate at WWDC in 2019.
Right. So by the time we get it, it'll be almost 3 years from that point.
Yeah.
I also have the problem of I realized that my order was set up to go to my old address.
Ooh.
And if it made it by the end of the year, that would have been fine. I don't know what's going to happen. I have to see if I can change that.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. I'm sure.
Yeah. It's just a little weird vagary of when I happened to order it. And I was not thinking about. Also, I was ordering. I don't know if I told the story on this podcast, but I told it elsewhere. I was getting on a plane. I was literally walking down the jetway of a plane trying to place my order because of when the orders went live.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I remember you telling that story.
And so I was not really thinking about where is this going. I was just like, oh, got to get this order in as fast as possible. Yeah, autocomplete everything. Sure. So, oh, well.
Oh, well. It's like, that's the supply chain is struggling and it's hitting
it's
everybody.
Issues.
And it's not just Apple and it's $6 billion or whatever. It's also panic and Playdate. And I was listening, actually this morning I was listening to Connected this week. And first off, it's always hilarious when you're not expecting it and somebody mentions your name on a podcast you're listening to. Which happened to me this morning where they're talking about shortcuts on the Mac and Federico says, oh, I know Jason's written about this. And I'm like, I have. But a couple of things. The new, I'm on the beta on Mac OS, which I decided to do because there's so much going on with shortcuts, especially. So I'm in the 12.1 beta.
Yep.
However, there are some weird things going on in the 12.1 beta.
Yeah.
And including last night when we were playing D&D, my D, the letter D, stopped working on my keyboard, on Keyboard Maestro, entering in text, just stopped working. I could only type a D by copying the letter D because that's fortunately Command C, not Command D, and then pasting that D in where I needed to. And then I reboot fixed that, but some of my shortcuts or some of my services, Apple scripts and stuff are working weirdly. So there's weird stuff going on, and I think I need to blame it at least in part on the fact that I'm on a beta. That said, I wrote about shortcuts on the Mac this week, and the beta actually clears up what Stephen Hackett called the saddest bit of user interface in macOS Monterey, which is the dialog box, the choose dialog box in shortcuts, which was this super weird, like very small, but every item on it was super spaced out. So you had to scroll and it doesn't look like anything you've ever seen on the Mac before. And they cleaned that up a lot in the latest beta, which is good. And I did. I've been spending some time messing around with shortcuts and sort of seeing, can I create shortcuts versions of things that I previously wrote as an Apple script, not just as a way to learn, although part of it is that, is informing me about how shortcuts on the Mac works, but part of it also is I feel like anything that requires configuration in an Apple script, it's very hard to hand somebody an Apple script and say, here, change the first five lines at the top to be the things that you want and then save it. That's not very friendly. And with shortcuts, I can make it a little bit, I feel like, friendlier by giving somebody a shortcut and saying, you just need to edit the top. Anyway, so I did a bunch of experiments with that. And the answer continues to be that shortcuts works on the Mac and is also real weird. So, but yeah, it does work.
There, a weird thing I ran into with some of the stuff that you've made is like the permission stuff. And so, like, there's a problem where, like, you want to, like, grab a URL and, like, send it to something, and you run the shortcut, and because it needs to, like, authorize it, basically, I think every time the URL is different.
So it'll be like, shortcuts would like to be allowed to connect to the incomparable.com. Is that okay? And you're like, it's in there.
But the problem is it's not, even that, it's like, if it's a different URL on the same, so for example, we frequently link to our Macworld pieces.
Yes.
But the problem is it doesn't care about like, oh, can I connect to Macworld.com? It cares, can I connect to Macworld.com/the whole article URL? And you're like, well, it's going to be different every... I've had it run into
multiple
times.
Is that true? Wow, that's... Because it should just be on a domain level. That's silly.
Would think so, yes.
Okay. All right.
Anyways, it seems to still be... And this is a problem that... Not problem, but this is something we've seen... That Apple has done a lot in recent years, which is it's trying to lock down security stuff and it's trying to be proactive about it. And that's great. However, it is sometimes overly aggressive, even when you are trying to tell it something to do. Yes, explicitly, I want you to do this thing. I have put this, you know, I appreciate that you're looking out for me, but, you know, walking that line between security and convenience is always an issue. And in terms of automation stuff, I'm sure they want to prevent the possibility that people will, you know, create malicious shortcuts that will do things that you don't want it to do.
Of course.
That said, I would like an option to at least like bless my own shortcuts and be like, okay, we've run this once. Just you're good. Okay. You can run it in the future. It's going to be fine.
Stop asking me.
Yeah. Stop asking me.
I think there's some bugs in
there. I want to save time.
Because in the iOS 15 betas, there were a lot of, cases where those shortcuts would ask every time and that was really annoying, but
there's still you know, there are bugs in all these places. Like, for example, I think I mentioned this before, there is on iOS, not on macOS for some reason, in shortcuts there is a wake Apple TV action that you can use to wake up an Apple TV on your network. Still doesn't work for me. Like, literally the interface for trying to select an Apple TV remains broken. I took a video, I posted it online, I reported a feedback every beta, and I haven't tried it in the most recent beta, but like up until beta 1 on 15.2, it was still broken. Entirely broken. Just unusable on my setup. And I you know, tried all the things, rebooting and force quitting and etc., and I just could not get it to work. And it's very frustrating, and this is, I actually wrote a little bit about this in my Macworld article this week, which is talking about Apple's, you know, balancing the desires to push forward and put out new features with, we already have all these features that don't always work or are not evenly distributed yet. And how do you balance those things, right? How do you make it easier for people to troubleshoot problems and to report problems and, you know, have people actually fix those problems that sometimes linger for quite a bit of time, right? I had another issue this week where it's like, a memory popped up in Photos, and it was like from a trip that my wife and I had taken like 4 years ago. And I was like, oh, this is a cute little video. Let me send it to her. And it could not do that. It failed every time I tried to export it. It's just like, yeah, we couldn't export this memory. I was like, okay. So I force quit the app. I restart my phone. I Google. I find people saying like, oh, you got to make sure all the photos in there are downloaded. So like, all right, fine. So I go look all the photos. All the photos seem to be downloaded. Try, nope, sorry, can't export this. Can't save it to your files. Can't save it to your photo reel. It's like, so
yeah.
I walked over to her and played it. And I was like, this is dumb. But and there's no way. How do I know how to fix that problem?
That's the challenge there, is that there's also some memories that you can't share. But again, they should not let you share them, and they should tell you you can't share them because you can't share them because of the music, or they replace the
but
music.
It should,
or something,
it,
but this
it
is
claims
just a bug.
It will prompt you, and I changed the music, and I changed the other things.
Yeah,
and I went through, you know,
that's just
a bug.
It's
just annoying. It's just a bug. It's just a bug, and it's like, I think this is a challenge because then you go and look online, right, and you find the Apple discussion forums, and invariably the people there are like, you should get in touch with Apple support. Well, let me tell you, getting in touch with Apple support is not a great way to fix any software bug. Because they don't know how to do that.
Don't get
it's
me
not
started
within their bounds,
with the people who are on forums on the internet who feel like it's their job to shut people down. That drives me crazy. And the Apple forums is a perfect example where it seems like there are people who their entire job is to curry favor with Apple by acting on Apple's behalf to get people to stop talking about things on the Apple discussion forums, and I just don't understand it. It's bizarre.
Well, and some of it is also just like it throws you into that very unhelpful tailspin of, have you tried these 10 common solutions, right? And it's the things we all do. It's restarting. It's force quitting apps.
First level support.
Exactly. And the problem with that is that, yes, it does weed out probably some things that get fixed easily, but it also acts as a deterrent to people who actually are trying to fix their problems because they're like, oh God, I've been through that already. I've tried that. I don't want to sit on the phone or go back and forth in a, you know, email or chat with somebody for half an hour, getting them, you know, having them walk me through things I have already done, which do not help, you know, and that's, it's a struggle. And you're a big company, Apple, right? Like that is a challenge for you to deal with your support, because I am sure there are a lot of problems that are easily, you know, like you said, your D problem. It's not a beta, we'll let go for a second, but like a restart fixed it. Might it occur again? Do you want to try and figure out what the weird edge case was that caused that? I mean, probably somebody should, but it's probably not a high priority.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah, so many people using Apple devices too that it's just like, yeah, the scale is kind of mind blowing. It's absolutely mind blowing. Let's see, what else do we do this week? I wrote a quick story about Apple. I'm wondering where this is going to go. Apple is going to launch its own device management service Apple devices. Yeah. Which is interesting because there are a bunch of companies that do this, and Apple is now going to be competing with those companies, and Apple's the first party system. I can't decide whether that's good or bad, and I say that because I've seen both. I've seen cases where the first party, comes in with their system, their service, and it eats the lunch of most of the third parties who are working in that area, because now the platform vendor's there and they have the secret sauce, which Apple says they don't have. Apple says that they are just using the MDM stuff that's in iOS 15 and in Monterey, and so they're basically, this service is using the same things that all the third parties use. Okay. That might stay that way or it might not. Who knows? Apple isn't targeting this toward the enterprise, so I think it is more likely that Apple is legitimately, you know, using this stuff and will not change because they aren't trying to reach huge businesses and they do need to add that functionality for them. I do wonder, though, about the health of the smaller companies that are trying to provide this for smaller organizations, because Apple says this is, you know, up to 500 devices or up to 500 people in an organization. However, I have to say, I have also seen the first party roll on in and say, haha, stand back, everybody. We're here now. We've solved everything. And especially I've seen Apple do this. And everybody looks at Apple's thing and goes, are you serious? So I really am going to need to hear from the people who are involved in IT, who look at this thing, to hear if this is a reasonably priced, reasonably functional thing. And my guess is that if you're all on Apple devices, it'll probably be okay. But my guess is also that one of the things that'll probably be a problem for Apple is that because it's Apple, right, there are things that they're not going to want to support because of politics at Apple. And because, and you know, if you're in a situation where you're like, well, this service would be even better if we could support Android or Windows or whatever, that there's probably somebody at Apple who's like, no, we're not going to do that.
It's not going to
happen. Or it could be a particular feature or a particular way a feature is kind of implemented. I could also make the argument that if Apple's eating its own dog food when it comes to all the MDM stuff that's in iOS and macOS, that it might actually make life better for their competitors now in this space, because if things are broken and Apple's Business Essentials service can't use them, maybe that will get it fixed in a way somebody on the outside says, this is broken, they're like, eh, all right, well, check in a year and we'll tell you whether we fixed it or not.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe not.
I would be unhappy, though, if I was at one of those companies that was doing this sort of thing, having seen that Apple has decided that another line of service is revenue that it can offer. And also, they're bundling it with a new tier of AppleCare Plus, which is interesting, where they will literally send somebody out to your office or to wherever your workers are within a few hours to fix a hardware problem, which is fascinating. So that being really aggressive on so this is kind of like a combination of like a web service for businesses to maintain devices and an expansion of AppleCare Plus and some iCloud storage bundle, whatever. But like the AppleCare Plus is a big part of it too, where they're trying to leverage, you know, everything that they've built in terms of AppleCare to create like another tier of AppleCare that is serving these people. There's already an enterprise level, right? But this is like a different level. I don't know. I don't know enough about this category to say what will happen, but I'm fascinated by it because it is the age-old story of Apple wanting more services revenue and Apple competing with third parties who work in their field.
Yeah. Yeah. It is fascinating because it is a... I don't want to say it's totally like a niche, but you know, it is a niche, you know, in terms of where the deployments are going and stuff like that. But it's, I think, one that is pretty valuable. Like, and like you said, it's already got a lot of other players in that field who do this stuff, and they do it at a high level, right? Like, nobody sets up MDM stuff for fun.
Yeah.
This is a thing that people are using.
And
it's
their whole business, whereas Apple is sort of like, hey, this is another revenue line.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, it will be interesting to see how that works. I mean, it has shades of, it reminds me, you know, it's service rather than, and hey, services, they love services, but it kind of reminds me of Apple dabbling with servers in like the Xserve era too, right? Where it's like, yeah, we're going to make a server. It's like, yeah, you can. I mean, sure. Are you going to do that for a long time? Yeah, we don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Listener, it didn't go well. 20 Max for 2020. You can find out all about it. So I don't know. I mean, it's quiet time right now. I was actually feeling it. I was out yesterday and I felt like I can feel the holidays coming. It's 2 weeks till Thanksgiving in the US.
Yeah.
And I felt like, oh, okay. The heights of all of the new stuff from Apple in the fall are finally kind of behind us, and we're headed for holiday, end of year, kind of a much quieter couple of months, which is just fine with me. I got to be honest, just fine with me.
Yeah, yeah. I think the only struggle is always just feeling like, oh, what do I write about now? Like,
sure,
the big announcements are past us.
That's one of the reasons why I'm doing things like messing around with shortcuts and I'm looking at the beta and stuff like that. Is like I've got an opportunity to spend more time with this thing that's more complete and available to people than over the summer when it was kind of a mess. And I actually have that time now, which is exciting. I'm trying to spend more time. I think I'm going to take the MacBook Pro that I extended my loan so I could take it to Arizona with me. I think I'm going to take it to Southern California for the holiday or for Thanksgiving too. And it's the same idea, which is why not? I mean, I'm not keeping it and I'm not buying one. So I might want to get a little more time under my belt with it, which is nice, right? Like, again, it's nice when you don't have a thousand different things that must be done immediately, that you can take a little bit of time and think about stuff and experience stuff a little bit better. So I still do have a list of things. I cleared out a couple of them this week with my e-reader review. And there was one other one that I I cleared out, maybe it was last week, but there's more, like I have more things in the hopper that are delayed from before all of the reviews happened. So I had to clear that stuff out, but it feels, I don't know, that's like luxurious, right? Which is like, oh, which story shall I write today? So nice. After 2 months of hair on fire running around. Oh no, another new thing. So it's okay. But yes, it's a very different vibe mid-November. Yeah.
It is very different. Mm. It's gift guide season.
Sorry.
Every tech journalist is least favorite
time
of the year.
You know, it's worse, Dan. It's CES press release.
I'm out.
Season. No, thank you. No, thank
I'm trying to get off those lists for 10 years.
All right. Well, whatever season it is, we'll still be back next Friday.
I guess. Sure. Yeah. Why not?
What will we talk about? I don't know. That's the great mystery.
Well, I'm going to take 2 seconds right now to pimp some stuff.
Do it.
I got stuff to pimp. So first up, I got my shirts that I do for my Galactic Cold War series over at Cotton Bureau are back on sale for a limited time. Because I emailed them and they're like, oh yeah, you know, we're doing our campaigns and they're all ending by Monday the 15th so that we can get stuff out by the holidays. And I found that out on Monday. So I had less than a week to try and sell some shirts. So if you want a shirt, if you want a Commonwealth of Independent System shirt or an Illyrican Empire shirt from my Galactic Cold War series, you can go get one until Monday. dmorin.com/shirts will take you over there. And during this show, they are now, the second one is officially going to print. So they will happen. There are 2 shirts. They will be shipping out. So if you definitely want one, you can definitely get one. Go do it.
I'm a big fan of the Commonwealth of Independent System shirt. But the Illyrian Empire shirt, you know, they're the bad guys.
I know. But it's funny. My wife and I had this discussion and she's like, which one's more popular? I was like, you know what? The Commonwealth one is actually a lot more popular. She's like, it's weird. I like the Illyrian one better. I was like, you know, to each their own. I mean, it's a cool, they're both cool designs. So
yeah.
Get one of each. That's the answer.
Illyrican is the one that MKBHD wore in a video.
That's true. A couple times. In fact, I came across a random thumbnail of him at some point. Like, I was scrolling through YouTube and it showed me one. It's like, hey, that's my shirt thumbnail. It's so weird.
It's pretty nice. It's pretty nice.
I don't know if that sells any shirts, but.
In this family, we don't buy red shirts, but it's good for various reasons.
You can get them in other colors, Jason. It's also an option. It is available in other colors.
Gray is the other color that's available in.
Yeah, well, I had a limited amount of time to put these things on sale.
Yeah, that's fair. Hey, speaking of the Galactic Cold War series, do you have anything else to plug?
It's fun. I do. The new book, which we talked about a few weeks, months back at this point, which is coming out in July of next year, is now officially available for pre-order on all bookstores. So you can get it on Amazon, on Apple Books. You can find it on Barnes & Noble. You can get paper books. You can get e-books. No audiobook pre-orders yet. It is coming. I just don't have details on that. And there is, for the first time, an option to pre-order a signed copy from my local bookstore, Porter Square Books. You can find the link on my website, dmorin.com/the-nova-incident, or just, you can just click on the Nova Incident on my website. But there's a link there to pre-order it from Porter Square Books, and you can even get it personalized. So I guess at some point I'll have to go in there and sign a bunch of books. But yeah, that's exciting. I'm excited to do that. I wish I had thought of that for the last few. It just never occurred to me that bookstores would be like, oh yeah, you random dude, come in, sign some books.
Yeah.
And since I can't do events as much as, obviously we used to do signings and stuff like that, this is a good way, especially if you weren't in the area either.
It's great.
Right?
I did this for the Baseball 100 by Joe Pisnansky. He had his local favorite indie bookstore in Kansas City, and he had everybody buy them from there, and he would transcribe, he would inscribe, I guess it is, whatever you wanted. And I ordered one from there that just had him say for Jason, and I didn't have him say something silly, but he lives in North Carolina, but he went to Kansas City for an event and to sign all the books, and he showed this picture, and it was like a basement at the bookstore, and it was filled with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books, and he said, this isn't all of them, this is just day one, and he was there for 3 days signing books, which is again kind of a good problem to have. But what I will say is,
don't think I'll have that problem.
Dan,
hopefully.
I bought a book from Porter Square Books and have given them instructions about what you are to write in mine.
Yeah, so. It was the fact that your instructions included strapping me to a chair. I thought that was excessive, personally, but, you know, okay. I guess I have to stay there.
The truth is the bookstore staff will do that for you. Because you're going to look at the books and say, I'm not signing those. And they're like, you are signing those. And they strap you in.
Yeah, I don't think I'll have the hundreds and hundreds of books problem, but as nice as that would be to have. But I will say I did yesterday get a notice. I often do well on Apple Books for obvious reasons based on our audience. And I was up to number 3 for a little while on the science fiction and fantasy charts.
Yeah.
Beating out Robert Jordan, which was pretty exciting.
Good. Also, I see that you were very highly rated on Amazon in the time travel category,
yes.
Which is excellent because the book features, which I have read, features no time travel.
I features time travel forward at 1 minute per 1 minute.
1 minute per minute. I was going to say it does feature time travel in the sense that it's set in the future. And so when you read the book, you are whisked into the future.
We're traveling in time. Yes. Amazon's categories make very little, if any, sense. I frequently saw my previous book frequently showed up in top rated short story, like science fiction short story. It's like, it's a novel. It's very clearly a novel.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. But anyway, thank you everybody who's already pre-ordered. But yeah, the links are out there and go forth.
Yes. And until next time, bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.